In today's first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, we read, quote, "You Athenians, I see that in every respect you are very religious. For as I walked around looking carefully at your shrines, I even discovered an altar inscribed to an unknown God. What therefore you unknowingly worship, I proclaim to you." Unquote. Hello again. Some years ago, my Jesuit brother Fran and I enjoyed a pilgrimage focused upon visiting the places where St. Paul lived and preached. With about a dozen or so Christians, we visited a variety of towns and villages in Turkey and in Greece. We followed in Paul's footsteps. It was quite an engaging and inspiring journey of faith for all of us. When we visited Athens, we went to the famous Parthenon, below which was the Areopagus, or Mars Hill, where Paul gave this sermon we read in today's first reading, the quote I gave at the beginning of today's sermon. The hill itself rises some 377 feet above the land below, and not far from the Acropolis and Agora, that is, the marketplace. Mars Hill served as the meeting place for the Areopagus court, the highest court in Greece for civil, criminal, and religious matters. Under Roman rule, the time of Paul, Mars Hill remained an important meeting place where philosophy, religion, and law were discussed. Looking at this prominent hill, it was easy for my brother and I to imagine how Paul used this place as a pulpit from which he could introduce to the Athenians Jesus Christ. Before arriving in Athens on his second missionary journey, Paul had encountered conflict as a result of his preaching in Thessalonica and Berea in northern Greece, and had been carried to Athens as a place of safety. While he was waiting for his companions, Silas and Timothy, to arrive, Paul was distressed to see Athens full of pagan idols. At the time of Paul's presence and preaching in the year 51 AD, the once great city of Athens was on the decline. After the war with Rome in 164 BC, the once vibrant capital of Greece was waning to a town of little more than 20,000, mostly poor people. Nonetheless, under Roman authority, Athens was given the status of a free city because of its widely admired schools of philosophy, architecture, art, and religion. This was the state of the city when Paul visited. Seemingly everywhere where Paul looked, he saw images of Zeus, Athena, Dionysus, and many other man-made Greek gods. Paul was distressed because he knew that there is only one way to the Father. One important monument that quickened Paul's spirit was the altar dedicated to the unknown God. Paul began his lecture with the observation that Athenians were religious with their objects and altars of worship, and yet they were ignorant of what or whom they worship. Paul's sermon addressed five major issues. First, in the introduction, a discussion of the ignorance of pagan worship. Second, the one creator God being the object of worship. Three, God's relationship to humanity. Four, the idols of gold, silver, and stone as objects of false worship. Fifth, time to end the ignorance. And so, folks, Paul's essential message to his Hellenistic audience was that the unknown God was not Zeus or some other deity, but the true God, Jesus the Christ. His sermon illustrates the beginnings of the attempts to explain the nature of Christ, and therefore an early step on the path that led to development of the church's Christology. In his sermon, Paul quotes from certain Greek philosophers and poets. He also alludes to passages from Epimenides and from the either Aratus or Cleanthes. That gives us a sense that Paul was well-educated in the Greek classical tradition. Paul also explained concepts such as the resurrection of the dead and salvation, in effect, a prelude to the future discussions of Christology. After the sermon, a number of people became followers of Paul. These included a woman named Damaris and Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus. What most inspires me about today's first reading from Acts is that, like most of the tales of the Acts of the Apostle, Paul is moving around the Mediterranean and proclaiming the good news of Jesus for the very first time in history. While he did not win over many converts in Athens, he did plant seed for the church's evangelization for then and for now. Indeed, recent popes have commended Paul's sermon at the Areopagus as relevant for our world today, and the church's ways of encountering the secular media of today. In the 20th century, for example, Pope John Paul II likened the modern media to the new Areopagus, where Christians' ideas need to be explained and defended anew against disbelief and the idols of gold and silver. Pope Francis, on a recent trip to Athens, asserted these words, recognizing Paul's impact. Dear brothers and sisters, here on Greek soil, St. Paul showed his serene trust in God, and this made him open and accepting towards the Areopagites, who were suspicious of him. In this spirit, Paul proclaimed the God unknown to his hearers. He thus was able to present the face of a God who in Jesus Christ sowed in the heart of the world the seeds of resurrection, the universal right to hope. When Paul proclaimed this good news, most of them laughed at him and went their way. But some joined him and became a small remnant. Yet that is how God weaves the threads of history from those days unto our own. Unquote. Friends, our own historical encounter with the gods of our time raises on how do we believe and profess Christ in the face of so much, at times, secularism and paganism who without a God. It's as if there are new altars to an unknown God. And yet, our belief in the risen Christ and the hope and the love which Paul once preached on an Athenian hill, in indeed, is good news for his time, for our time, for all time.